another episode of the William Branham Historical Research Podcast. I'm your host, John Collins, the author and founder of William Branham Historical Research at william-branham.org. And with me, I have my co-host and friend, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, host of Laura Lynn Live. Laura, you can see I'm bubbling over with excitement. It's been so long since we've talked. I want to say it might have even been before Thanksgiving since we have talked last. And it's been a long, long time. Yeah, I could be off, but I do know that we had them scheduled ahead. So it's been months and months. We had chaos. But in my world of chaos, it's all, you know, home stuff. But you have uncovered all kinds of new things to talk through. So I wanted to talk through the latest. It's kind of crazy. You sent it to me. And while I was waiting, I was reading through this. I'll let you introduce it. But oh, my gosh.
You know, I got my credentials removed a little while ago from one of these NAR types because they were upset. I was credentialed with the Independent Assemblies of God in Canada. And my husband and I live on the border. We're American and Canadian. And I got it taken away because they said, you're not allowed to talk badly about other ministers. What if they're predators? Because that's actually the people I'm actually speaking badly about, is that there's a problem in the church and there's these predators. Well, I had three meetings with them and they said, you know, you're not allowed to talk bad. And I didn't comply. So I got this removed. So this guy puts out a big, he puts out a long thing just praising basically the NAR group that is problematic, I think, here in Canada. So last night I did a show, and, you know, Heidi Baker, she's been around a long time. And this is why I was asking you, like, tell me about the roots of this, you know, rolling around on the floor, shaking your head, acting almost demon possessed, and that is somehow the spirituality that, you know, we aspire to. So Heidi Baker, a very well-known person. Stacy Campbell, very well-known person. I mean, there's just videos, they just shake their head like it's almost inhuman the way that it's happening. So that was my thought. I thought, when I talk to John, I want to hear about the early manifestations. They call it ecstatic worship now, mm-hmm. You know?
They called it that back then as well. That's the funny part. So what you sent me, I read through it, and as you know, I'm not that much interested in the present, because it's all just chaos to me. But whenever I see it happening and it relates back to history, I get my excitement goes up because I can relate to this. But to unpack it even further, let's first talk Assemblies of God, Independent Assemblies of God. I recently, in fact, just this week it came out, I just recently did a deep dive on just the Assemblies of God in general, because the Assemblies platformed a lot of the latter rain ministers, so much so that it split the Assemblies of God in half. And on the one half was the Assemblies of God proper, which denounced latter rain and said, this is evil. And they listed all of the many things that you can read it. And in fact, if you go to my website, I've got a copy. They denounced it. But yet in their past, there's a little bit of sketchiness there. So I was diving into that. When they split off, the Independent Assemblies of God was formed, and they accepted it. So on one half, and they listed very clearly what is unbiblical and why we're rejecting it, that's the proper Assemblies of God. They denounced it. Independent fully accepted it, and they accepted just the things you're describing. So not to go too far with it yet, but let me just give you a broad overview, because it'll make the wheels start turning in your head. William Branham's mentor, Roy Davis, we've talked about him. He was a scoundrel. One of the things he did when he came into my hometown of Jeffersonville, Indiana, was he posed as a converted spiritualist. And in the era, that was very popular. We've talked about this some, I think. There was one of the largest spiritualist camps in the nation, wasn't far from here, Camp Chesterfield, I think it was. And we have evidence that Branham went there, likely with Davis. But that was the platform. I'm a converted spiritualist. I know how it works. And I know how to rightly divide the truth from the error in what they're doing. That's kind of how this played out. So they introduced elements of spiritualism into Christianity. At the same time, they also accepted, because it was Pentecostalism and it was near Kentucky and Ohio, they accepted, apparently, the snake-handling, poison-drinking doctrines of that sect of Pentecostalism. What they were trying to claim was that if you were in the real religion, the real Christianity, not the false Christianity, you could see signs, wonders, miracles, unusual things, unusual happenings, spiritualism, all of the above. And they started using different techniques. Some of these techniques, I've studied them out, they're not limited to charismatic movement, Pentecostalism, NAR. And that's where people get a little bit tripped up. They think this is a true sign of God if you can do these weird things that they're doing. But it's actually techniques of psychology that exist in many different religions around the world. One of the techniques, which I think this is where your wheels will start spinning, humans are highly suggestible, and there's a element, I think it's called social contagion. There's a name for this, but basically you get a large group of people. You can have one person who's a plant or a fake, and they can drop on the floor, and then everybody, they're in this anticipation. So the speaker walks out. This is how it works. Speaker walks out, says, "You're about to receive." And everybody, their senses gets heightened. The music starts swelling. Remember in the old days, they had the organs. So the organs would start softly playing. And the people would get up into this spiritual ecstasy. And then when somebody were to fall or shout or scream or do something like this, that anxiety starts to form inside your body. And the leader says, "More, Lord, more, Lord." And this grows and grows and swells in the population of the crowd until people actually fall out and they start shaking and they do all kinds of weird things. And this is controllable. It's the same in the category of psychology that it's happening in. It's the same hypnotic response as hypnotism.
That's what fainting. I was going to say. Hypnotic. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. It really does seem to be, because the more that the leader gets crazy and starts manifesting and twitching and turning and you know, suggesting that this is, you know, I'm imparting the anointing to you. Kenneth Hagin did it. Now, it's funny because some of the leaders, they don't want to act crazy. They just love to get the whole crowd whipped up. There's others like Heidi Baker. She will completely be, you know, twitching, turning, falling over, like acting drunk, I guess, in the spirit. Then she gets the whole crowd, like in the one clip we showed, to put, you know, an imagined crown onto your neighbor. I don't think that's even godly. The word says not to touch each other. Like, you should be very careful of that. And so here they are putting these crowns. Everyone's touching each other. She begins praying for people. This guy starts writhing on the ground, completely demonized. And he's writhing like a snake. And she's acting as if this is just a great manifestation of God's glory. I mean, I am done. Now, Kenneth Hagin, and a lot of people love Kenneth Hagin, but we showed a clip a while back where he walks through the crowd and he says, "I can impart the anointing to you. And when I do, oh, all kinds of crazy things will happen. You might start laughing. You might start, you know, singing." So this guy, he goes along, he's playing air guitar, you know, and he's up on the seat, you know, and Kenneth Hagin says, "Yes, Lord. Amen. More, Lord, more, Lord." And so, this is, you know, back in the days with Glad Tidings being part of the Latter Rain, they did have the Holy Rollers. They called them that. And I only heard about it, but apparently, like, one guy just, you know, would really be quite famous for just rolling, you know, across the floor and all that. So then let me tell you something else we played this week. So Mother Han in North Korea. And this all relates to the old, because we have the roots of all of this, this Christianity that is mixed with something that is not Christianity. It is Hinduism, like, you know, this Kundalini spirit. So we play this clip of these people worshiping Mother of God, the only begotten daughter of God, Mother Han. She's now currently in prison, and Greg Locke's over there trying to say that she's in there for, you know, religious discrimination. What a joke. They're probably getting paid off to be anywhere near her. And so she's actually in jail for embezzlement. So it's a big joke. But this entire big stadium full of people is singing, sounds exactly like Christian worship music, I mean, exactly. When I first heard it, I thought it was. I thought it was like Bethel. So they're singing la la la. And then it's like, Mother Hen, you're so glorious. People are crying. And they're just singing to Mother Hen. I was like, oh Lord God, help us all. It's an infiltration. Like, we don't know what's real anymore.
If you have a newspapers.com subscription, you can easily go back and verify what I'm about to say. But there's a point in time that if you were in this movement and there was that separation, right? You had those who denounced it, those who were in favor of it. Those who were in favor of it would advertise in their Sunday papers for their Sunday services with signs following. We have the signs following. And what this is, the last chapter of, or the last, chapter of the book of Mark, Mark 16, where it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They took that and they put more emphasis on that passage than the whole rest of the New Testament. So Pentecostalism, if you study its history, it's a little odd. The speaking in tongues, for example, biblically, there is a precedent for speaking in tongues, right? And people, according to the Bible, if you believe the Bible, it says that there are people who heard the other language in their own, in their native tongue. There's a purpose for it. They could hear the gospel even to those people that they did not have a way to communicate with, according to the Bible. Charles Fox Parham started to say that whenever he got into this ecstasy, and the people did what the Pentecostals call speaking in tongues, he started to say that this was the same thing. This is exactly what they're talking about here. And we're going to train missionaries who can speak in tongues, and they're going to go to China, and they're going to convert all of China to Christianity. So he trained these people to do this. The problem is the language that they were speaking wasn't another tongue. It was, in fact, if you study Kundalini, if you study Hinduism, you can see this is kind of widespread. They're doing the same exact things. So these missionaries go to China, and not a single person there can understand what they're saying. So they barely survive. You know, you can't ask for food if you can't speak the language. So they came back, and it was a complete and utter failure. And that was a critical milestone in Pentecostalism. However, as this began to spread throughout the United States, because most people weren't familiar with the rest of the world and other religions, they thought this must be of God because this is so unusual that we've never seen this before. Interesting part is, this wasn't the first time in Christianity that speaking in tongues had existed. You can go back to the 1800s and find it as well. But there was a purpose for it in the Bible. It doesn't match the purpose for it in the Pentecostal charismatic world. But when you tie it to what they're doing now with Hagen, it's actually so far worse. Think about, so we're talking about hypnotism, trances, this kind of thing. When you think of hypnotism, you think of the guy who's swinging the bracelet or the watch or whatever. Well, what this is doing, this is putting you into a trance, and it is one mechanism for doing this. There are many different mechanisms for doing this. You can also have subtle trances that happen. Some of this can be done through worship music. So these guys have actually figured out over time what types of music brings people to the state where they're maybe not in a trance, but they're highly suggestible. And that's the key. If you can bring people to a highly suggestible state, whatever you tell them as far as doctrine, they're going to believe it. They're going to turn off critical thinking. They might fall out into a trance and wiggle on the floor like a snake. John Wimber said that there were people barking like dogs in the revivals. And he kind of washed his hands and walked away and said, this is crazy. Yet at the same time, it was his worship music that actually got them in the state that to begin with. So this is this weird, vicious cycle that keeps going.
Kind of like the Toronto Blessing, you know, where it just got crazy. And, you know, I have some respect for John Arnott in that he did kind of believe that it was going off, but he felt like, I don't want to stop this move of God. And he's not really the type that seemed to be trying to get them all, but something kind of clicked and people's lives were touched. They say that they received something and had an experience and an encounter with God, but some ended up clucking like chickens. So for instance, speaking of being suggestible, so we've got this Todd Bentley. I showed his commissioning. So this is from 16 years ago, his commissioning thing. It's got all the Peter Wagner there, Rick Joyner, Bill Johnson, John Arnott. I believe it's, it's Stacey Campbell, because she did her thing and gave a prophetic word about how great that Todd Bentley would be. None of this is real, so I show it all. But so here you've got a guy. He comes to the stage to be commissioned. He has tattoos all over his neck and his entire body. And somehow all the bigwigs are behind him saying that they've never seen glory like he brings, and prophesying all of them that this is going to be the next amazing. Now he starts doing the jerking, right? His head is going, and you know, and then he of course falls down and continues to jerk. And this of course is the manifestation of God. The fruit of all of this, he leaves the wife that they actually brought up on the commissioning stage, eventually leaves her for the nanny. Eventually you see the nanny, now his wife, she's manifesting on stage because she's hanging out with Stacey Campbell and Heidi Baker and all of them. So she's doing the thing and hissing like a literal snake. This has gone off, and I just said last night, I'm done. Like, I'm putting it all out there, and my comments are like, this has to be exposed, this has to be exposed, and it really does. When people talk about Heidi Baker, like this guy, Bill Prankard, who took my credentials away for speaking against, other ministers, this guy is completely silent in the face of predators in our Canadian ministry culture. He knows them. He won't bring any accusation against them. The board won't. The accountability group that was the oversight committee that overlooked everything, I called them, they won't bring accountability to a predator in our midst. And he's mad at me for sounding an alarm so that there will not be more victims. So all of this suggestibility you're talking about, and I want to ask you this, John, because there's a certain type of minister that will shut that down because it doesn't feel right. And they'll go, hey, I have seen ministers say, listen, we're having, like someone starts screaming and writhing and they tell them to stop it, get up, demon, get out, let's move on with ordered worship. Then there's the minister type who goes, okay, I can capitalize on this. They're the used car salesman of ministries. They have something in their heart that's so evil that they will take advantage of everything. They know they'll get a bigger offering because people are in this frenzy. And now let's take an offering. And you're so frenzied, you'll just, you know, give way more than you thought you ever would because you're having this experience.
Absolutely. I mean, think about how hypnotism works. Whenever the stage hypnotist will hypnotize a person, they'll put clear boundaries on what they do while they're hypnotized. But picture if they didn't put those boundaries. Say that they wanted to do something like, okay, bring two people on stage. I'm going to hypnotize you. Now I want you to do something really bad to this person next to you. And the person goes over and slaps him in the face. But he didn't put boundaries on that. What if the next guy, deep inside, there's something wrong with him psychologically, and he comes and pulls out a knife and stabs him? Well, there's no boundaries on that hypnotism, and they're in this state of trance where they have no control over their bodies. The same thing is happening in religion, but they put the boundaries on it where it's a boundary of worship. But we don't care how you worship. You can bark like a dog. You can cluck like a chicken. And whenever people see this, because they're so unfamiliar with how psychology works, they don't really think about what they're doing, and they join into it. Now, when the whole group joins into it, you have a group psychology that's happening. And the problem really comes down to the fact that with no boundaries, you can make the people do whatever you want. Then, like you said, the minister who says, no, this just doesn't feel right, let's don't do this, inwardly, he knows that the people are out of control. That's why he's saying this. The one who wants to make a lot of money thinks, oh my gosh, these people aren't in control of their pocketbooks. Have you ever wondered how the Pentecostal movement started, or how the progression of modern Pentecostalism transitioned through the Latter Rain, Charismatic, and other fringe movements into the New Apostolic Reformation? You can learn this and more on William Branham Historical Research's website, william-branham.org. On the books page of the website, you can find the compiled research of John Collins, Charles Paisley, Stephen Montgomery, John McKinnon, and others, with links to the paper, audio, and digital versions of each book. You can also find resources and documentation on various people and topics related to those movements. If you want to contribute to the cause, you can support the podcast by clicking the Contribute button at the top. And as always, be sure to like and subscribe to the audio or video version that you're listening to or watching. On behalf of William Branham Historical Research, we want to thank you for your support.
This thing you were talking about, this sort of mass psychosis, this hypnotism that can go across an entire group, because all of a sudden everybody is being profiled and highlighted. The cameras are on the people that are manifesting, and that is celebrated. And so, you know, within these vulnerable people is that aspect, well, I want that. I want to be celebrated. I want to be a part of this move. Like, how come I don't exactly feel this? And people will literally admit to this later. Then they'll admit that they fall down just to be part of the group. I've literally heard people say this. You know, you just decide you'll just fall because you should. And this is just sowing into a false narrative of who God is. And I just have this feeling that because of your work, John, you have set a foundation of exposing the roots of this. I'm mentioning you a fair bit on my show now, and I talk about William Branham, the truth about him, because he is idolized in Canada. He is idolized in the States. People still think, you know, that they would like to have that anointing and that power of William Branham to raise the dead and all of this stuff. You know, they don't have any idea about who he traveled with and the homosexual conglomerate, you know, around him. And all of this, when you begin revealing the truth, then people are like, oh my goodness. And folks are actually leaving the church more in a way, because those churches have to fall. There's something falling right now. And you know, John, your truth is a large part of it. It has to fall, everybody. We don't have to be scared that the false church falls. We don't have to be scared of that. It's got to just literally be decimated. It's got to get so embarrassed and so outed that we don't have this nonsense anymore, that the real purity of who God truly is going to be what is allowed to be magnified and glorified, not this nonsense.
You know, and the funny part about all of that that you just said, they really don't actually care about Branham. What they care about more is the formula that he created. In fact, if you listen to any of them, they'll say, well, he went astray. We don't care about him. He went astray. But look at the formula that he had. And they're talking about the years that are his worst. I mean, he started out with the head of the KKK. How much worse can you get? And there, the guy was... some of the things that you've described criminally, this guy was worse. I'll just say it like that because YouTube might censor, but it was bad, bad stuff. But they cared about the formula, and it wasn't just Branham. Gordon Lindsay and Branham, that combination, were really powerful. Lindsay, the man who founded Christ for the Nations Institute, he was part of the revival tour, the Voice of Healing campaigns. For a period of time, the Voice of Healing revivals and the Latter Rain revivals merged, and they became one and the same. Oral Roberts came out of the Voice of Healing revivals. Big names came out of this. But they had created a formula that brings people into that ecstatic state, and they realized that there's a lot of money to be made here. Newspapers talk about boxes of money that they take out of the revivals. Once you have that formula, now it's a repeatable formula. And where I'm headed with this, you mentioned Todd Bentley. I don't know if you know this or not. Bentley claimed that he had Branham's angel on the stage with him when he was doing those revivals that you're talking about.
Angel comes to me about 7 days before I'm commissioned into full-time ministry. 14-foot-tall angel. William Branham in 1946 has the angel of the Lord visit him. The winds of change. The angel of the winds of change.
He said Branham's angel's here, and he named the angel Emma, not knowing that Branham had a male angel. Branham would say, my angel's out on the platform, and he would always say that angels was male because he was very misogynistic. Bentley did not even care enough about Branham to study and find out the gender of the dang angel.
Wow. That's sick. You know, I'm gonna make a note of that and see if I can find to put up, because this is the sadness. And you see, some people won't use this hypnotic, protocol on people because they're good people and they would never do that. But some people like Todd Bentley, and you talk about the money, they got buckets and buckets and buckets. They made millions and millions of dollars while having this this Lakeland revival, so-called. And oodles of money is coming in and all this manifest stuff, and I have Branham's angel. What a load of crock. You know, I'm so done with it. I'm on a mission to destroy it. I'm on a mission to expose it. I will be a wrecking ball. I used to say, when I was on 700 Club, I used to tell Brian Warren, my co-host, I said, I just want to be a wrecking ball against the kingdom of darkness. And he would always laugh, you know, because I'm kind of tiny and not that intimidating. I'm intimidating now. I don't know what happened. And meeting you was part of that process. And I'm so grateful because, you know, you explaining some of the history enlightened my eyes to what the false side is. The enemy always comes as an angel of light, and he comes in and he tries to destroy and get in like a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. You know, once you got a little bit of that nonsense in there, well, now you're just destroying everything. And that's what they've done. And I said to a guy recently this week, I said, well, I'm never going to be a big successful evangelist. I'm never going to be a big successful minister of the gospel, bringing in millions. I can't, because I can't do it. I don't have it in me. I don't have that personality that wants people writhing on the floor so I can take a big offering, so that I can have big manifestations. And these sickos, these guys, they are deviants in their minds, and they are able to do it just the way, like, you know, there's car salesmen and then there's car salesmen, and a really good on the books car salesman actually just has no empathy for who he's selling that car that they don't need to, you know. A good car salesman will go, you know what, this sounds like it's over your budget, so I'm not going to show you the Rolls Royce over here. Yeah. You know, here's an economical car that your family can afford. I would be that guy, you know?
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned people coming out of the church left and right today. It is happening. It's true. And I've been through this, so there's a problem with it, and it is very, for me, it's a very personal thing. This is very, very difficult. I actually don't talk about it much because it's a personal journey, and if you talk about it publicly for people like you and I actually, when I started talking about my new faith, my new beliefs, I had cult members who would show up at our church to try to pressure us. So I've learned not to go too far with public about my private life. However, all of that said, it was difficult for this one reason. The version of God that they've taught you is a false God. The version of the religion that they've taught you is a false religion. The version of worship that they've taught you is a hypnotic, psychologically strategic type of worship. It's not true worship of God. So the problem that I had when I left, I told everybody that when I left, I'm remaining Christian. I'm just leaving this false thing. And all of my family, all of my friends, most of my family and friends shunned me. And never, some of them I've never talked to again. They just won't keep contact. Even though I had left to remain Christian, it was so important to them that I keep that type of religion that they didn't care if I followed Christ or not. What they cared about, did you follow this type of religion? So the religion itself has become a god. That's really the bottom line here. Then I started to relearn Christianity, relearn what it is. What does it mean to be a Christian? I read the Bible over and over. I've talked about this with you. But there was still a problem. The way that they have done it is a multi-tiered doctrinal error. You start with a false foundation, you build something on top of that foundation, and something else, and something else. Well, by the end of it, it's like you can take the top layer off, but you still got another layer to go. And like peeling an onion, you can keep peeling and peeling layers, and it takes a long time to get to the core. I got about, you know, in my stack of layers, I got about halfway through, and I realized this could take the rest of my life to try to figure out what is Christianity. I chose the opposite path. I said, okay, blank slate. I know nothing about Christianity. Tell me. And I remember the look on the pastor's face when I said this. He was so confused. Well, what in the world are you talking about, John? I said, okay, so Jesus had a virgin birth. Why do we believe this? And I knew some of the answers to the questions, but I wanted to like relearn it from the mind of a child. So I went literally back to the mind of a child. I had to relearn everything. And I have come to the conclusion it will probably take me the rest of my life to relearn everything, but I don't care. The God that I took away was not real. It was a false God. People who go through this type of religion, the longer you're in it, the longer you're in it, the longer it sets you back from being an actual Christian.
I think that's really neat the way that you did that. Maybe we all need to get to just relearning. And the key thing that you said is, what does the Bible have to say about it? Why do we believe in a virgin birth? Because the Word of God, you know, says these things. And maybe if it's not in the Bible, that's when we know we shouldn't be doing stupid stuff. And we shouldn't be following stupid leaders that are telling us to take a crown off your head and build a crown upon a crown upon a crown. Now put it on your neighbor's head. You know, like even the act of touch is, you know, that's a very personal thing. That's a very, that appeals to a certain part of a human being. This is not anything that that God asked you to do. It said, the Word of God says, not to lay your hands suddenly on anyone, to be careful. There's something you need to be careful in that. So when you get in a church service where someone's telling them to, I've even been in church services where they're saying, okay, like for fun, you know, massage the guy's back in front of you. I don't know this guy from Adam. He could be completely demonized. He's nothing that I should be touching. And, you know, they think it's funny. That's not funny. It's actually really wrong, just on a base level. And then when they start using it to get people into a frenzy, all kinds of things. So now you're being touched, someone's putting a crown on your head, it sounds so spiritual, and pretty soon people are writhing on the floor, and then it's being glorified as if this is correct. Like, it's all a pile of nonsense. And, you know, because of your courage to come out with all of this, I am being very bold. I'm talking about Paul Kane and his bad example of Christianity. Bob Jones, last night on the show, we did a little clip on Bob Jones, and can I say, they say exactly what he did out loud, because people know Bob violated a couple of women, you know, that we know of. Maybe more. We don't know. We don't know there's not more victims, if just because nobody else came forward. But what we did know was kept silenced. So here's what's changing. Because of courageous work like yours and truth tellers like myself and Mike Winger, I thank God for him, that he exposed Sean Bowles. Do you know what? This was probably going on way back. If William Branham is in a company of these men, well, what might have been going on behind the scenes? Well, Sean Bowles, he's the modern day guy. You know, getting his false prophecies off of Facebook, as he literally gives people, you know, details so that they believe him. This is like not talked about till Mike Winger brings it out, but all of them knew. Bethel, Chris Vallotton, you know, Bill Johnson, Patricia King, Shayon. That's a new name for me, Shayon. Like, I didn't even know who Shayon was. All of these guys covered sin. I'm just saying, as a layperson, as somebody who's not, you know, got some huge ministry, just a woman, you know, standing for the Lord, if I knew that some guy who was being on a stage and being platformed was doing that in the background, I would just shout it from my Facebook mountaintop. I would just tell the world. I would go on my podcast and tell everybody. I didn't know, but Mike Winger got the information. So Mike Winger, the podcaster, is the one now bringing the truth. He's Paul the apostle of this day and age. You are the one acting like the apostle of this day and age, bringing the truth, asking people to stick to sound doctrine. And that's what's changing everything right now.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for Mike Winger as well. You don't know this because we've not talked in weeks or months, but Winger sent me something that I've been trying to get my hands on for a long time. And he sent me one. He was able to get one, but there are many. We have no idea the depths of how bad this actually is. Paul mm-hmm. Kane, who you mentioned, he was known, apparently, according to the contacts that I know who knew Kane, Paul Kane was the fixer of the industry. If you wanted somebody to silence, to be silent, you called Paul Kane. Paul Kane, go fix this. Paul Kane would, when he had conversations with people, he recorded every single conversation, and all of the dirty things that you're talking about, it's all on tape. It is on tape somewhere. Winger sent me a transcript of one of the recordings. It was heavily redacted, but it was a meeting where Paul Kane is trying to pressure Chuck Smith, and he's there with Jack Deere, and they're... What he's trying to pressure Chuck Smith is, Chuck Smith had mentioned that Paul Kane was defrauding people of their money with his religious techniques, which is all of the discernment, the names, address kind of thing, if you read into that. He's also, he outed Paul Kane as an active homosexual. And Paul Kane came and pressured Mike Smith. After that meeting, Chuck Smith published a letter and retracted his statements about Paul Kane. So these guys, not only are they doing these terrible, terrible things, they all have dirt on each other, and they try to sway each other. This is the way a mafia works. This is not the way Christianity works.
We're there, aren't we? And how exciting that we're at this distinct time in history where God's had enough, and he's in a mood. This is what I'm saying. God is in a mood. And he's exposing it all. And if you got to be on the right side of that, or you'll get crushed. And God is doing this. And so we can stand strong in him. I feel I'm living the best years of my life, but it is stressful. Putting out that video yesterday, it is very stressful to me to have to expose Heidi Baker, who's so well thought of, but she's acting the fool. And I have to put it out there. Because this is not okay. What they're doing to people, it's not okay. So this is like a reformation time in the body of Christ. And I'm pretty excited that, you know, that he's willing to use people like me and you, ordinary people who love God, who are willing to tell the truth. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. You're very courageous. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, if you've enjoyed our show and you want more information, you can check us out on the web. You can find us at william-branham.org and Laura Lynn Live. For more about the dark side of the New Apostolic Reformation, you can read Weaponized Religion, From Christian Identity to the NAR, available on Amazon, Kindle, and Audible.